Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to be here tonight, and it's good that I'm feeling somewhat better than I've been feeling. And I went to the doctor to give them my vitals and all this yesterday, so they didn't stop me at the door when I started to leave, so evidently I'm still living. And I told them I'd see him in about a week, but my appointment is for the 19th. This was just for the workup on this thing. So, you know, sometimes we got to work up from something or work to something. And I found this out to be true when I started studying to speak. So sometimes I get in front of myself a little bit, and sometimes I got to drop back a step or two in order to bring myself back up to speed, because we talked about a lot of stuff last week, but some of it we didn't, because when I got a little more involved in my notes, I come to realize that I should have, even a few weeks ago, mentioned this, because we've been dealing with it for some time. And so you might say, well, Cecil, what are you going to pull on us here? And I'm not really pulling anything, but I want to go back. Turn back with me. If you got a companion Bible, turn back with me. If you don't have a companion Bible, turn back with me to Genesis 1. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Why are you going back that far? Well, we're going to go back that far because we've got some things to look at, or a little bit to look at, that we haven't mentioned in a long time, because my studies have been going through it pretty well with what the companion part of the Bible has shown to us. But I want to go back to the beginning of something. And this something is Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 28, because this is going to answer some of the questions as we go down through here as to a kid or several kids. You get several children in a car, or maybe one or two. Anyway, and you take them on a trip, and they ask you the question as you go down the road, are we there yet? Well, the reason that they ask that question is because their mind is not comprehending the distance that you're going. And so they're involved in what's either going on outside or what's going on inside the vehicle or something, till they don't put all that together and realize the time or the distance that we travel, because they just don't comprehend this distance kind of in the way that we do when we get older.
Plus, they don't have near as much patience.
Yeah. But this is something that God set in motion that we sometimes don't look at. Because when they were doing the 6-day, seventh day thing, well, it was explained during this time that God doesn't need time as far as time is concerned. Because a day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is a day. It don't matter. Because there's really, with God for man, there's no starting other than when he created. And there's no stopping, which for mankind that has hope, there is no stopping.
Yeah, amen.
But involved with all this stuff, they're starting and stoppings all the time. I'm going to read verse 28 of chapter 1. It said then, and this is emphatic, and it uses the word Ellipsis. And it said, the actual building of Eve, not till 2:20 through 23. But look at the rest of it. And it said in 28, to replenish is to fill, as in 1:22, and nearly every occurrence have dominion. Which tells us that in Psalms 8, Hebrews 2, but he says, but now, not yet. It's like when you run a kid down the road in a car and he's anticipating or has been waiting on the time when we're going to go somewhere and we're going to get there. But it says, not yet. Well, ain't that to Luke and John that I took up, I don't know, about a year, I guess, now. But you get to these points to where it says, not yet. But let's go to chapter 2 and look at those verses 20 through 23. So with 20 it says, and Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Well, when this was said in chapter 1, verse 28, which is the last verse of chapter 1, there was no Eve, but there was a mention of Eve, but it wasn't yet. Okay? We agree to that. And it said, and the Lord God gave a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Little stuff. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So that was another first beginning. This is when God had opened man up that he had created and took something from him, but made something else with it. What am I getting to? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, or because of this, because of this connection, we've got to go to another connection to have hope. What did God, when Paul's gathered, told him whenever they came to Christ at night, and they asked him the question, and he said, you must be born again.
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus.
Yeah. That was the Lord was teaching.
Okay.
Yeah, not taught.
Was it the Lord's teaching?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was getting taught.
Well, yeah, but he couldn't. But that was the thing there, that there had to be a situation with the woman that would cause mankind to have to seek through God another way. And that has created all the things that man has come, walked upon, and hasn't given him, or didn't give him the answer until he gave it to Nicodemus. Said, you must be born again. You must be connected like Adam and Eve was connected. God looks at them two as one. And Ronnie mentioned this to me some time ago. Said, I think as we're part of the family of God and part of him, the man and the woman, if they're together, they're looked upon as being one, still being one, as the vow that was taken on the earth, as being one. But God made this connection here. Now I want you to think about it kind of strongly a little bit, because then God makes the connection with the vow between man and woman here on earth. And the same way, we need to make that vow with God through his son, because that's the only way that vow can be made to furnish a hope that you and I might have. This is what the Pharisees, this is what all the people that turned their back on God did not understand or could do. And they were like kids in a car that we can see nowadays when we put our grandkids or something in the car. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet, because many of us have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ for our connection to become one of his. Does that make sense? You ever think about it? And all the things that we went through, let me get back over to my, we're going back to John, 11th chapter of John. But all this stuff that we picked up here now from John 11:1, we'll go back down and we'll get down here to about the 10th or 11th verse here, and we'll go back to but now, because that's what all this is. It's a but now. Now, you get 11:1, the very first word is now. It doesn't say but now. But if you go back and you read what you read in John 10, you get a lot of but nows, because but now they wanted to kill him. And you go on back, and it's but now, because you've done this and you did this for this guy and you broke the law. But now. You do all this other stuff. But now. And we get chapter 11, verse 1. We could say here, but now. Now we didn't do it. We didn't start with but now, because I didn't put it in my notes. And this is the seventh sign. Let's just put it now, but now. But now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, these things that we talk about Mary here, is a situation, because one and two goes together, really, the occasion. A certain man was sick, pointing to a weakness and exhaustion that resulted in an active disease rather than the disease. And it's the verb used 36 times generally, down in the gospel, sick. Put in the gospel as being sick.
Yes, translated.
Translated. Okay. And John. And, so this is, chapter 5, verses 3 and 7 of the man at Siloam, too. It was impotent, meaning ineffective or powerless or helpless. Truly, all. And we understand his abilities of not being able to do all the things. And since Lazarus of Bethany is the same as Eliezer, Lord God help us. And the town of many, of Mary and her sister Martha. Well, Mary here was, comes out of this chapter as being as the leader, but it, she was not as the leader, because I think the leader in this family happened to be Martha. Because when we get down to verse 2, and it says this, and it's a parenthetical insertion. And so there's some information that needs to be mentioned. So let's go ahead and mention the message. It says it was that Mary, anointing the Lord with ointment and wiping his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. It was like, he couldn't do these things for himself. And so Mary here now is like the servant in the house for doing the servitude stuff that a servant would do if someone in the house was sick. Like, I took care of my wife for a long time, and Mary's taking care of her brother. But he's not getting any better. And the death of Lazarus was not because of a disease, but it was because of what the disease could do for someone if it wasn't taken care of. And so here it gives you the understanding of, but now, are we there yet? It's just like he was dying and they was expecting him to die. And this is one of the but nows. Or is Lazarus dead yet? Well, he's not right there, but he is getting that way because Mary is doing these things for him that they would do to someone if they're going to marry one. And the rest of verse 2 was that. Anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Well, this ointment that they used in embalming in those days were pretty expensive. But if you see you're going to lose someone, then the price of death kind of goes out the window and you do what you feel like you got to do or need to do to show even yourself that you provided the best you could for
that person.
That's the way we do it. And nobody wants to lose anybody, so they want to do whatever they possibly can to make it work. So Mary was the one that did that. But she wasn't the head of the house. It was Martha that was the head of the house. And Lazarus, we don't know how long he'd been sick. And this sickness may have come upon him a little by little by little by little by little until it finally got him, because they don't have or didn't have the ability then to run somebody down to somebody that could help, maybe. This was like the 911 thing. We're looking at a man dying here, and we need help. But where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Well, not yet.
Well, she sent a note.
They tried.
She did send a note, yeah.
Okay. So they sent somebody to look for this man called Jesus, which is known to us for sure now as salvation. So they say, oh, we can send for our friend Jesus. That's our salvation. So they did use what we call now 911. So, but now we've got to that point. Okay. So all these things go down the line and you see the reason why, because I've tried to make it to a point to where I have added to my notes enough to give us a little extra lift as to how this is coming off. Verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he who thou lovest is sick. Well, he's 25 miles away. They're about 25 miles apart. So whoever got sent had to go 25 miles to let this be known.
Take the message down.
But now, Jesus already knows this. But now they still did not understand unless they were a believer of what Jesus, they had heard Jesus say and believed him to that point. So they're not there yet. They're still in the car, in effect. And so therefore, he said, the man that you love is sick. Well, he knew the dog problem, because Jesus said, when he got the word, these people had traveled 25 miles. Must have took at least a day. And it says when Jesus heard that, well, we're there yet. No. He hasn't even started on the journey yet, because he knows what this was laid out for. He already knows in his mind, Jesus does, that this is the man that he is going to raise from the dead. Now these other people that you read about over here, whenever they were going, from house to house and place to place, they run upon those people when they were healing people, and they run upon the sickness, and some of them were dead, but they were there just after they had died. And they had a law that they went by, that if you were dead 3 days, you were over. Well, that's the reason when you find that they talk about Jesus coming along, said, well, he'll be as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, or the fish. He'll be in the whale 3 days and three nights. Oh, what? Okay, that determines that something else is going to take place. That determines when you're dead, you're dead. Because if a man was in a fish, swallowed by a fish, couldn't possibly live in the belly of a fish for 3 days without air, whatever it takes to keep you going. So we've got the understanding, but we're still in the car. We're not there yet. Okay. When Jesus heard that he was that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Okay, so now Jesus now sees the two things coming together. And so he says, okay, I'll just wait till the 4 days is up before I get there. Because if he did it any earlier, he said, well, he wasn't really dead. That's what those that didn't believe in Jesus Christ as being God or even the Son of God. And they're both are one, but people just don't believe that. None of these before in John 8, 9, and 10, when Jesus was teaching to them, none of them really believed that. Even though he showed them all these miracles that he could do. And they picked up stones several times to kill him with stone. And they said, okay, which of these miracles are you going to kill me for? Well, they said, hey, what miracles is blasphemy? We don't believe you. We don't believe you. And so here we now have a basis for a belief. It's like we shut the door on the car and we're fixing to go that way. I thought that was a pretty good analogy to use because kids don't get the understanding. And so if they don't get the understanding, they can't get the answer to what they need because they're expecting something. But these people, Pharisees, they didn't really expect anything. They thought, well, we've got God's work. We don't need yours. But the picture kind of changed a little bit. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified because of this, thereby.
All for a reason.
It would be something that would overtake the ignorance of some. Because if this didn't make a mark, what was going to? You would have to do it and nobody could say, well, you did it before he really died. And this was not the reason for that. Now, here's another insertion. In verse 5. It says this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Talking about Mary. So it kind of leaves Mary on the lowest scale of understanding as to how a family was put together. And that's the reason we talked about when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and these are my sheep, and I take care of my sheep. So he even went that far in his discourse before he got over here to this thing with Lazarus and them, because he wanted to put the family blocks in place there, just like he did the sheep with the people. You ever thought about that? When he says, I am the good shepherd. These sheep are mine. They hear my voice. They know me, but somebody else can come. They don't know them. Well, this was exactly what was taking place here with Jesus. When he come, they thought they knew God, but they didn't think that they knew that he needed anybody else. But he did have a son. And he had always had a son because he had created him. But now the son now is also got flesh.
Which is what always threw them. Yeah, they had a hard time.
They had a hard time.
You're just the carpenter's son. Don't like that. Yeah. We know his mother and his father.
Yeah. Hey, we don't need no... We don't need nothing else. We got God. But no, they thought they had God. But here's the son now that has become God's son, and he is also God's man in place. Okay, we got the car loaded up a little bit now. And it says in my notes there, now Jesus loved Martha, and that's out 93:3. So that gives you a point there as to where all this stuff come from, as understanding the Aramaic there, High German, or it used to be Hebrew, but they had started leaving the Hebrew back some because of the people were not wanting to hold on strictly to the law because they felt like they couldn't hold to the law all the way. It was something that God had given them that they just didn't understand it all. They were like the kid in the car. They didn't know where they were in that. The whole situation. And the Aramaic law was High German with Hebrew. And it said in her sister and Lazarus. So Lazarus was there for a reason. And so were the two sisters. But yet one was looked at from the High German point, that was Martha, and Mary was the low point, and she was the one that did all the human elements of all this, and Lazarus was the one that was supposedly to be head of the household, but evidently, whatever disease he had or the thing from the disease, we understand that that's what killed him. But the fact is, see, he didn't have to do a lot of redoing with Lazarus to get him going again as he was without the disease, because there was nothing there that he couldn't fix. All this stuff that he could fix, he wasn't there. And that's what the sisters told Jesus when he got there. If you'd have been here, well, we're getting ahead of our story a little bit. So, verse 6 through verse 16 is the performance of the sign. Is the departure, or when Jesus got ready to go. He says, I'm waiting I'm not ready to go because everything is not in place. We're not there yet. So it's like kids saying or whatever, yeah, no. But he's telling Martha and Mary and all them. Or he knows in his mind that he is going to wait that long in order for everything to come out to where they couldn't deny what they saw. And if they couldn't deny what they saw, then it was deemed to them, or should have been deemed to them, that it was a miracle. Okay, let's go on. So I'm going to read 6, because 6 down through 16 goes together. And he said this, and when he had heard, therefore, okay, we need to know what therefore is therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He had reason, you know. It's like, you know, us loading up to the grandkids going to Florida, and you go down the road about 56 miles, well, we got our rest stop, we got to go to the bathroom for this, that, and the other. Well, this is the same kind of thing if you're in the thinking of what we're using as a kind of a duck work to get from place to place. Because this, we're waiting on a departure here. Not yet. 2 days. Got to wait 2 days. Not yet.
There's a good note on that in the companion Bible. It talks about in verse 4, it says he abode still.
Yeah.
That's the Greek term tokmen eimenin, and it should be translated then indeed he remained, like he for sure remained.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your point is that he did it for a purpose. In the translation, in the true Greek, you see he's doing it for a purpose. But in the English, they kind of rob it of a little of that meaning.
Yeah. Yes.
Then you say, well, he just stayed there.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet causes that.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand something, you can't grab it and do what you need to do with it until it's time to do it.
Yeah. But yes. The Authorized Version and the Revised Version left those words out.
Does that same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So that gives you the understanding that if you go back to Genesis 1:28, it is not yet, because Mary wasn't there at the time that that was known. It's not yet, and it's not time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I said, well, we're going to see it as we go along. Okay, and I'll read my notes, and I may have not have, put all this in here, but it says, when he, Jesus, had heard, therefore, or because of a time element, because man was made for time, and that's the reason I mentioned that early, because time is made for man. It's not made for God. God has unlimited time, so you can't say that was made for God, but he uses it for man because he was dealing with man, and that was what his inheritance is going to be when he comes back, or when the son opens the book, then God is going to get his people for his inheritance.
Well, time was meant to reign over creation, not over the creator.
Yeah, right.
God only needs time as it works out according to how he's dealing with us.
That he, Lazarus, was sick. He, Jesus, abode 2 days still. Yeah, in the Greek. And you've already mentioned that.
Yeah.
Then.
That's a cool note.
Then, indeed, he remained still. In the same place where he was. Both the AV and the RV omits the important adverbs. I made a note that said, remember our 911 alert of verse 3, the 911, whether you see something, Lazarus was sick, he's dying, and they seen it and they said, oh, we gotta get to the Savior. Well, they sent for the Savior and the Savior waited 2 more days. He didn't come because he understood the need for all this to be done because he was going to raise Lazarus up anyway.
He already worked that out with Father.
That had already been taken place. It was done. So, but they didn't know. They were like the kids in the car. Aren't we there yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I keep running into that, and I said, boy, I got to do this way. So, here we go. Then afterwards, verse 7. He abode still in verse 6, same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Oh, they had left Judea because they were still wanting to stone Jesus. Because wherever he went, they must have had runners.
He still got a wanted poster out.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Then afterwards, Epicot in the Greek. Well, he saith unto his disciples, let us go into, and then too there is the word Greek in the Greek is east, E-I-S. Let's go into Judea again. Oh boy. Well, it seems like every time they're there for a little while, they're hounded by these Pharisees that wanted to stone Christ or wanted to get him killed or whatever, and regardless of what he done. And so, that's the reason he waited the 2 days, because they wouldn't have an answer. The 3 days, well, you might have saved him, but the 4th day, no. Not going to happen. His disciples saying to him, Master, Rabbi, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late, we just been there. They sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? They gonna ask, well, are you gonna go back there again?
You got death wish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, the Jews of late saw, we're just now seeking to stone thee. And this is in John 8:59, I believe, it was the verse. And he said, and goest there again? Are you going to go there again? Go thither again? Verse 9. It said, Jesus answered. And, kind of seemed to be an unusual, retort back to that. It seemed like it wasn't a proper answer, but it was. It said, and there, and he says to, his disciples, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. Okay? And this has to do with the sign and the performance here. of the departure of the Lord, because it's going to go from 6 to 16, and so we're still not there yet. And this is part of the sign, is the departure of the Lord, talking about the Lord talking about going there at dark. He could have went there in the dark.
There's the illustration. That's a beautiful name, by the way.
Yeah.
There's an illustration that gives you what he said and kind of what he means, and then the application.
Yeah.
That goes along with it in that same notional intent.
Which is,
it kind of explains the reason for the illustration.
Right. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Well,
he was
the light of this
world. That's the whole
thing. So the point was that without a need of it, there would be no need to get out in the dark. But here is a need for it. And so even without the light, you could go, but it might not turn out to be what it was supposed to be for. But it says in verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Well, Jesus knew that he had light in him. And so if he was making the point that I am the light of the world,
then he who walks, as it says, he who hath not the Son walks in darkness.
Right.
You're just stumbling along.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful way to make a really neat point.
And he told his disciples, well, if I go myself, but if we get separated somewhere, then you guys don't have the light that I have. Because they haven't seen all these things.
Yeah.
This is a learning curve for them too.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a deal there. When you get down to verse 10, it says there's no light in him. The light is not in him. It says, The clauses in verse 9 are strictly antithetical. And the illustrations that we just read is walking by day in the light of the sun, a man stumbleth not. Walking by night without the light, he stumbleth, because man is not equipped like the Son of God is equipped. That's an illustration, and it's an exoteric illustration. And it says, walking by night without the light, he stumbleth. And that's foreign. And to man, if he carries the light with him, he can see. But if he doesn't have the light in him, he cannot see. So he is something that is foreign to this thing here that they're doing, because they're waiting on all this. And then when you get down to the departure in the verse 10, the application down there, he that hath the Son is walking in the light, and the esoteric, not exoteric, but the esoteric is meaning one, and this is what I had on another note card that I guess I left on the table. And it says, he that hath not the Son walks in darkness.
This is the whole point.
And that's the whole point.
Yeah.
So therefore, the Son furnishes the light, whether it's in the daytime or whether it's in the night. The Son is the light of the world. And so therefore you have to be connected with that or have that in order to be able to get around. And so that's pretty clear to see, because if you get the rest of it, it says, but if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. And it says, these things saith he. And after that, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I came that I may awake him out of sleep. Wait a minute. He said all this about the light and the darkness because Lazarus is already dead. He knows it. He knows it. They don't know it. He knows it. But the disciples don't know it yet. He says, but I go that I might wake him out of sleep. And they said, well, if he'd been asleep now for a couple of days, he ought to be okay. Well, let's turn the page and see what we got. When we get over to 11, I just read it. These things he said, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus is dead. I mean, sleeping. Verse 12. I'm about out of time again. Then saith his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Okay. Then there is therefore. And we know why it's therefore, because they did not understand. Because they didn't get it. Now is the time to leave, to go. So, were we there yet? Well, no, we're not. We're still on the journey. Now is the time, saith he to his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Then the disciples, at that point, they still did not understand why all this was going on this way. So, let's go to verse.
I don't think they got the concept of Lazarus being asleep to the point where him being a believer, he could wake up again from death.
Yeah.
He hasn't told them plainly that he
did. You're right about that. They're old enough now that they know well.
From where we stand, having the whole scripture, we get it. They're like trying to figure all this out on the fly as it's happening, and they were having a hard time with it.
Yeah. But let's go to 13, because this is another one of those parenthetical insertions. It says, howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest. In sleep.
Yeah, they thought he was just asleep.
If you don't have these parenthetical insertions, if you don't have the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, then you don't get it. That's like a kid going down the road in the car. He don't know how long he's been there. He don't know the number of miles he's traveled. He don't know the time that has passed by that he didn't fully get involved with. So, well, when you get there.
That is so true. When I was a kid, a week seemed like a month.
Yeah.
And now a week seems like 2 days.
Well, I've got this little saying that I want to give you. When we came from Ohio to Grandma's house on Oconee Creek Road in Oconee County, South Carolina, I was 7 years old. Like, we didn't have electricity in the house, but we walked to school, and the walking to school was a trail, a community trail that went by my grandma's house through her pasture and up to her mailbox into the woods. And from the woods, we went across the woods and we come out at the school. Now, that's what we call up on Burton Yard. Well, I was supposed to walk through there. I didn't have anybody to walk with me, but I realized that all the kids in the community was going to have to come to this place, and then I could get with them and go because I'd never been in the woods before. I grew up on sidewalks. What little bit I knew. And I didn't know. And man, when I got into the woods with them, well, there was only one good hill. And there was a branch on both sides, and people had went in there and built a wall.
Bridge
across those two places. I thought that was the longest distance. I thought, you know, we'd never get there. What if I wound up there by myself? And I was just scared because I didn't comprehend the distance and the time. But you know what? After I grew up a little bit, I went hunting with Grandpa some, and then I got a rifle. I got to where I could get out, get around. Well, I knew this trail was there. And I'd start down through there squirrel hunting or whatever was there. I could shoot it. And then another time I looked around and here I am at the schoolhouse, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, gee, where?
Hey, as far as you thought, Martin. Yeah.
I just couldn't comprehend that for a while. But, you know, after we got a school bus, then I gave it up. Everybody else gave up the trail. I'm not sure that I could find the trail even through there again now. But I know one thing. It wasn't near as far. I thought it was.
Seemed like it was.
First day.
Yeah.
So we'll leave off there with a parenthetical insertion today, because that was a good marker that these parenthetical insertions give you. A good bit of the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, because he'd start something and he'd want to finish it before he got off the air again. So he made that a real thing in his talks. And I always loved him for that, because if you had any doubt when he got done, you didn't have to doubt about that.
He definitely had the gift of putting it the way it needed.
He did. No doubt about that. So we'll stop there, pick it up next time. I said, well, see, you ever going to get him raised? Yeah, we're going to get him raised. But we're making a journey here. And so this journey, I hope I got time. The Lord gives me time to get through this journey of this.
Amen.
Because I don't want to believe it as Paul Harvey did without the rest of the story.
Amen.
So God bless.